Medical researchers involved in developing life-saving treatments for diseases like cancer and epilepsy have raised serious concerns about the effect new data protection guidelines will have on their work. The regulations mean the explicit consent of patients is required before their medical information can be processed. Researchers claim the implications of this are enormous and could jeopardise ongoing clinical research, possibly delaying the development of cures for life-threatening conditions. One of the people who's concerned is Professor Michael Farrell, a retired neuropathologist who was based at Beaumont Hospital in Dublin. He's one of the authors of an article on this subject in the Irish Journal of Medical Science, and he joins us now from our Cork studio. Professor Farrell, you're welcome to the programme.
Thank you, Justin.
Now, your concerns here, they relate to the consent which is required from patients who've had samples of tissue taken from them. These might be cancer patients, for example, and that tissue and the data associated with the sample is then used in medical research. What kind of consent is required now that wasn't required in the past?
Yes, going forward, since the health research regulations came into force, consent for the type of research that you described has to be explicit. And that means that it must be very detailed, it must be freely given, it must be informed, and it's best obtained, if you like, in a face-to-face encounter with the patient. The patient is briefed beforehand about the nature of the research. They're provided with a patient information leaflet. There's ample opportunity for the patient to come back and discuss and have their questions answered. And all of the research ethics committees in the country have now embraced the new health research regulations going forward and have spent a lot of time and effort over the last 10 months putting in place all of the safeguards to make sure that data collected in this way is compliant with the health research regulations.
But the problem is that there is research ongoing now that relies on samples which were taken in the past for which this type of consent was not acquired.
That's correct. And many of these samples are, if you like, housed and archived in biobanks. So, for instance, a patient with breast cancer or colon cancer would have given a piece of tissue with implicit consent, knowing that that piece of tissue would have been used by the researchers to answer questions about cancer in general and to enhance research in every way. And those donors of those tissues would have been happy to see their tissues used for research purposes. But now that's not explicit consent. So if you like, there would be an onus on the researchers to go back and re-consent those patients over and over again.
Okay, and what's to stop you or the researchers from going back and contacting those patients, asking for their consent so that this life-saving research can continue?
This creates enormous difficulties. For instance, we wouldn't be certain whether a patient is alive or dead. We wouldn't be certain of what condition the patient was in receipt of chemotherapy or radiotherapy for their cancer. We wouldn't even be able to determine whether the patient had the capacity to give consent, because it wouldn't be done on a face-to-face basis like I described. It would have to be done over the phone, or it would have to be done by post. And I'm not even certain that it might be ethical to intrude on the patient at that stage. So there are enormous logistical difficulties. Now, having said that, the Department of Health has recognised that these difficulties exist, and they have put in place a mechanism called a consent declaration committee, where researchers caught, if you like, in this bind between implicit and explicit research would make application to the Department of Health or to the Consent Declaration Committee for an exemption.
And they say that so far they have received no submissions. So what do you want them to do, and will you be making submissions to this committee?
That's very worrying that there haven't been any submissions yet. Now, some of it may be because the committee hasn't been set up yet, but I understand that's going ahead very shortly. But I myself am trying to prepare an application to the Consent Declaration Committee, and only the very fact that I'm retired has given me the time to be able to make this application. It is enormously challenging. It is difficult. It takes a lot of time. And I know that there are other researchers who are similarly affected, and they're trying to do the research and at the same time prepare this application for the Consent Declaration Committee. So it's enormously challenging.
And what are the implications then for medical research if the current regulations are not relaxed in some way?
I'm fairly certain that a lot of young researchers will just be overwhelmed by all of the sort of the legal approach to the consent, and may in fact just feel that they don't have the time, or they're not able, or they just can't see a way out of this bind.
Are we looking at possibly research being stalled, being delayed?
I certainly would hope not, and I would hope the fact that there are no applications in yet is a reflection of the fact that people are working on it, looking for advice, looking for help, and that the applications will come in. Now, early on, when this was being discussed with the department were very concerned that this mechanism would be used as a sort of an attempt by researchers to avoid going back and getting consent. But as I said, going back to patients and getting consent is just not feasible in the current climate. It is virtually impossible in my view. So we'll have to wait and see how the Consent Declaration Committee approaches the applications and what attitude it takes towards the lack of explicit consent for archived specimens that are in all our laboratories.
And yet the department argues that its regulations, they have to take into account the constitutional and human rights of patients. And if patients have no say on how their information is being used, the department says the notion of patient empowerment is meaningless.
Absolutely. But at the same time, we're aware from other studies that patients give freely of their tissues. They are very generous in the way they donate tissues. They are given safeguards by the researchers and by the doctors. All of us who are involved in research are subject to medical ethics as well. We're subject to ethics imposed by the medical council and by the various research ethics committees in the country. So we can't act unilaterally, or we can't ignore the sort of common views that patients have in relation to selling data or selling specimens. We can't do any of that.
Yes, because one of the concerns here is that you will have these commercial collaborations between researchers and commercial companies. Yeah. And I suppose the concern may be that patient data will end up in the hands of a commercial company and might be misused. That's the concern.
Absolutely. And we would do everything in our part to make sure that does not happen. As I say, to do that would probably be in breach of medical ethics, and a physician could find himself or herself in front of the medical council. So we're governed by medical ethics, and the research ethics committees would not give approval for that type of dispersal or donation of tissues that have been acquired in a different way to drug companies or research or drug companies, essentially.
Okay, and finally, Professor Farland, briefly, if you would, what is it exactly that you would like the Department of Health to do now?
Basically, to have the Consent Declaration Committee set up, to have it staffed with people who understand the sort of bind that we find ourselves in, and to let the committee make its decisions in the best interests of research in Ireland and in the best interests of the patients in general.
Okay, Professor Michael Farrell, thank you for joining us from our Cork studio.